want to keep looking at different ideas through the book of 1 John. So if you'd open your Bible this morning to 1 John chapter 2, 105 verses in the book of 1 John, but there are places where it talks about our love for God and God's love for us. And that's what we want to look at today. Someone was talking about church security. There was a church that put up a sign out front that said, "We handle snakes. They're in the church 2 days a week. You guessed the days." And they never had any problem. 1 John chapter 2, verse 5 is the beginning of this. Now, commands to love one another, we looked at that. Five times in 1 John, it says we're supposed to love one another. Chapter 3, verse 7, verse 8, chapter 3, verse 28, and chapter 4, verse 21. One time in the book of 1 John, it says not to love the world. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. But we want to look at love for God, love of God. 1 John chapter 2, verse 5 is where we're going to begin. 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. "But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked." The love of God perfecting it. It's made perfect in us. Now, the word perfect, we think of perfect meaning nothing wrong with it. The word perfect here in the Greek is to be complete, to be full. Matthew 5:48, Jesus told his disciples, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." And I guarantee you, not one of them was perfect, okay? There hasn't been a perfect church member. I love people that say, "I don't want to go to church, it's full of hypocrites." Well, so is Publix. So is Golden Corral. Don't go there either, okay? If you find a perfect church, don't join it because it won't be perfect anymore. Now, I guess kids have never heard that because I said that in class one day and they all jumped up like I'd slapped them. But anyway, that's okay. The word perfect also means to feel full, to fulfill, to achieve your potential. "I have not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law," or "to fill the law full," Jesus said in that same chapter. "Be therefore perfect, even as the Lord your God is perfect." The Bible has more to say about being perfect than we really want to look at. 2 Corinthians 13:11, "Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace." Hebrews 6:1, "Leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection." And that verse indicates it's a process. Nobody's perfect. No one's going to end up perfect, but we enjoy the journey toward perfection. Colossians 3:14, "Above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness." 1 John talks about being perfect, chapter 4, verse 12. "No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us." Verse 17, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." Verse 18, "Now there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear." We love him because he first loved us. So, love goes with completeness. The more complete we are as we grow as a Christian, the more we love. God is love, and if we're in God, we're more and more in love. Someone said, "Well, how do you get the world out and the love in?" I don't know. You got a bucket full of water. How do you get the water out? You put something else in its place. You put enough rocks in a bucket of water, pretty soon you'll have more rocks in the bucket than water, because the rocks will force the water out. The more love of God we put in our lives, the more we're going to force the world out. John 15:9, "As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue you in my love." Probably three things about the love of God. First of all, God is love. That's his nature. So if he saved us and he's inside us, we have God's nature in our nature. Second of all, it's produced by the Holy Spirit. So it is a supernatural thing. We don't always love on our own. We don't always want to love on our own. Sometimes it's a lot better to get mad. Feels better to get mad, doesn't it? Doesn't it feel bad to be upset? Oh, yeah. But Romans 5:5 says, the love of God is shed abroad in our heart through the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. So it's what God is in his nature. It's produced in us by the Holy Spirit, and love causes us to obey God's principles. John 14:23, if any man love me, he will keep my commandments. There was a, J. Vernon McGee tells the story of a young man that lived on a farm with his dad, and he had chores. He had to chop the wood. He had to gather the eggs. His dad had chores. His dad had to milk the cows. His dad had to rake the hay in the hay fields. One day his dad was sick, and so because he loved his father, he raked the hay, and he milked the cows. Now, he didn't have to do it, and that wasn't his job, but he did it because he loved his father. And there are a lot of things in this world that God is moving in this world. God cares in this world. God wants things done in this world. And because we love God, we find out what God's doing, and we join him in doing that. That's Henry Blackaby's definition of serving God. Henry Blackaby is the prayer guru of the Southern Baptist Convention. And he's written a number of books on prayer. And he says, what do you get involved in? You look around and find out where God is working, and you join God in that work. That's what it's all about. The word of God, we get commands. The will of God, we get God's principles. Someone said to me one time, well, smoking pot's not in the Bible, so it must be okay. Well, it's becoming more and more okay in our society. A student said to me, homosexuality is not in the Bible. Well, no, it's not. That word does not appear in the Bible. But the word sodomite does. The word going after strange flesh is in the Bible. The word men laying with men and women laying with women, which is unseemly, is in the Bible. Right? So sometimes the Bible doesn't have direct commands on something, but the Bible gives us principles. 1 Corinthians 6:19, know you not that your body is the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth within you? Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Sometimes it's the principle, not the direct command. 2 Corinthians 5:14, why don't we do a lot of things other people do? 2 Corinthians 5:14 said, the love of God constrains us. The love of God restricts us. If I had my way, I'd have a loudspeaker on the front of my car, and every time one of these people cut me off or almost hits me or gets in the wrong lane or is driving down two lanes at one time, I would tell them about it. But my wife constrains me. She will never allow me to put a loudspeaker on the front of my car. She says, but people will shoot at you. And I said, but I have a gun. I will shoot back. So anyway, yeah, the love of God constrains us, believe me. Perfecting it, the love of God, perfecting it. Lehman Strauss wrote a commentary on 1 John. This is what he said. When any believer is keeping the word of God, obedience is not the result of human strength or of human quality inherent in man. It is the love that God is, reproduced in the life of the child of God who is yielded to the Father. It is the developing of God's love manifesting itself more and more in a practical way toward God and others. It is divine love reaching its divine goal in the child of God. Love is carried forth to perfection by obeying. Bishop Ellicott, and he has an old commentary people used to use, a perfect, complete Christian is a person who's filled with the Holy Spirit so that he lives the will of God. So, the love of God, perfecting it. The love of God, perceiving it. Look at 1 John 3:16. 1 John chapter 3:16. Now, there are a lot of famous 3:16s in the Bible. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. 1 Timothy 3:16, great is the mystery of godliness, God was manifest in the flesh. But this is 1 John 3:16. Whereby we perceive the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, that we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Absolutely. We talked about perfecting the love of God, now perceiving the love of God. Perceive, to know by experience. You and I have been loved by God. God's never going to stop loving us. Romans chapter 8, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. John 15:13, greater love hath no man that he lay down his life for his friend. We've seen it because we've been saved. We deny ourselves for our own good. Wow. Matthew 16:24, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Galatians 5:24, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the lust thereof. We deny ourselves for the good of others. 1 Corinthians 10:24, let no man seek his own, but every man his others. Philippians 2:4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That is the family of God and how we treat each other. The love of God, perfecting it, 1 John 2:5, perceiving it, 1 John 3:16, proving it, testing it, making it real, 1 John 4:9-10. Look at that with me. 1 John 4:9-10. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God loved us before time, because God existed before time. God loved you before you were born. Romans 5:8, God commends his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, my brother-in-law, you know, his wife would say to him, I love you. And he would say, right back at you. He didn't, you know. That's what he meant, though. He meant the same thing. Ditto. The lady said to her husband, you don't tell me you love me. He said, I told you 40 years ago when we got married I loved you. And if I change my mind, I'll let you know. But God does love us. And he shows us he loves us every day. Paul Harvey used to tell the story on the radio of a man in a winter snowstorm in his house. And he kept hearing this thud, thud, thud. And he went and looked at his sliding glass door. And there was a flock of birds. They saw the warm house, the fire inside. And they were trying to fly to the fire to get warm. And they didn't realize the glass was there. And they kept flying into the glass and knocking themselves out. There was a pile of birds on the ground, where they were flying into that sliding glass door and thudding and falling down. And the owner said, I need to tell him, I need to warn him. But he hit it. He realized the only way to warn the birds was to become a bird. And then he could tell the birds what they needed to do to be safe. That's what Jesus did. The only way to warn us was for God to become a man and speak to us on our level and reach out to us in love. Romans 8:3, for what the love could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Great is the mystery of godliness, that God became flesh, 1 Timothy 3:16. Romans chapter 4, Romans 3:24-25, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, who God has sent forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. The love of God perfecting it, the love of God perceiving it, the love of God proving it, the love of God purifying it. We want it to be more and more pure in our lives. 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 through 19, if you look at that with me, 1 John 4:16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. That's where the Bible says it, right there. 1 John 4:16. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Charles Ryrie said, love becomes a major force working in our lives. There is freedom in fullness because God lives in us. Jesus said in John 14, 20, in that day I shall be in my Father shall be in me, and I shall be in you. There's freedom in judgment. 2 Corinthians 5:10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the deeds done in the body, whether to be for good or evil. We don't have to worry about that. We're not judged to be lost or saved, to go to heaven or hell. We're judged according to our growth and service. And there's freedom from guilt. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. The word for fear here has a background. It's a criminal in front of a judge. They're afraid of what the judge is going to do to them. There's the master with the slave, and the slave is fearful of what the master is going to do to him because he's been a disobedient slave. But that's the word that John uses here and says there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Romans 5:1 says there's therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. God's love includes godly fear, but not tormenting fear. So the love of God, love for God, perfecting it, perceiving it, proving it, purifying with it, personifying it, we are supposed to live it. 1 John 4:21. 1 John 4:21, personifying it. This is the commandment that we have from him, that he who loved God love his brother also. And this is the agape kind of love. This is the self-sacrificing kind of love. God's love doesn't ask us, do you feel like it? Some of you didn't feel like coming to church, but you came to church this morning. Okay? Appreciate that. You know, love, we do love, not because we want to, because sometimes we don't feel like it, sometimes we don't want to. God says, because I love you, you're to love somebody else. God's love came to us on the way to somebody else. We're not supposed to hang on to it. We're supposed to let it go. The Asians have these ideas about if you want to hold on to something, you turn it loose. There's freedom in turning things loose. You know that old sticky thing about if you love something, let it go, and if it comes back to you, it's yours forever. But if it doesn't come back, hunt it down and kill it. Yeah, okay. You don't think that's funny? All right. You've got a house with the windows open. The breeze is coming through. Shut the windows to keep the breeze in. Does that work? No. As soon as you shut the windows, the breeze is gone. Go down to the river and get me a bucket of running water. Does that work? No. As soon as you dip that bucket in the water, it's not running anymore. There is a freedom of turning things loose and letting them flow. God's love flowed to me on the way to somebody else. God's grace flowed to me on the way to somebody else. We need to turn loose and let it flow. Make sense? That's Eastern thinking. You're not truly dedicated to God and His service, J. Vernon McGee said, unless you demonstrate in your life and in your service. God's love perfecting it, God's love perceiving it, God's love proving it, God's love purifying it, God's love personifying it, God's love prioritizing it. 1 John 5:3. Look at that with me. Chapter 5, verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. His commandments are not burdensome. His commandments are not severe. His commandments are not cruel. During the Vietnam War, there was a reporter in a field hospital, and there was a nurse there cleaning the bed sores on a severely wounded soldier. And the reporter just shook his head. He was standing there next to the nurse, and she was cleaning this soldier and taking care of this soldier. And he said, "Lady, I wouldn't do that for $1 million. And she said, "Neither would I. We don't do it for the money. We don't do it for the glory. We don't do it for a pat on the back. We don't do it for any acclamation from the world. We do it because we belong to God, and God's love flowed to us on the way to somebody else, prioritizing it. God has commanded us nothing for His own sake. God has commanded us everything for our highest profit and our highest happiness. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly of heart, and I will give rest to your souls." That's the promise. Love of God makes God's commandments light. There's a song in our hymn book. We don't sing it much, but it's number 150. I love thee, I love thee, I love thee, my Lord. I love thee, my Savior. I love thee, my God. I love thee, and that thou dost know. But how much I love thee, what? My actions will show. That's right. Loving God, perfecting it, perceiving it, proving it, purifying it, personifying it, prioritizing it in our lives. Cost-benefit analysis. What's it going to cost me? What's the gain? And we need to weigh everything we do against the kingdom of God. But you can't receive God's love first without also receiving His forgiveness of your sins and the gift of eternal life. If you have never done that this morning, the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You have to admit you're a sinner. You have to believe that what Christ did on the cross paid for your sins. And you have to ask Him into your life as your personal Savior. And if you do that, He will do what He promised to do. And He'll give you the gift of eternal life. We're going to sing hymn number 307, "Just As I Am." Hymn number 307, Billy Graham's famous invitation hymn. Number 307.